Tonight on the Worldview Report, 8 Republicans join with Democrats to save Joe Biden's Homeland Security chief from impeachment. Another European city, the third in recent months, bans the advertisement of meat and other products deemed responsible for global warming. A famous U.S. soccer star and committed atheist says getting injured this past weekend in the last match of her career was proof that God does not exist. U.S. forces continue to come under attack by Iranian-backed groups in Iraq and Syria. And a leading American obstetrician gynecologist has testified before Congress regarding an alarming spike in miscarriages among women who have received COVID mRNA injections. All these stories and more as the Worldview Report begins right now.
This is Worldview Report with host Brennan House. Whether it is news from the nation's capital or your state capital, from the classroom to the boardroom, from national security to national and local news that impacts you and your family, Worldview Report is your trusted source for vital and uncensored news. And now, here is Brennan House.
Good evening and welcome to the Worldview Report. Leading off tonight, the U.S. House of Representatives on Monday voted to refer a resolution to impeach Department of Homeland Secretary Mayorkas to a committee after Georgia GOP Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene introduced the measure last week. 8 Republicans joined with Democrats in a vote to move the impeachment effort to the Homeland Security Committee. That's what Politico reported. Mayorkas' tenure has witnessed a marked uptick in illegal border crossings, and Green's resolution has accused him of neglecting his duties. The resolution states, quote, in his willful admittance to border crossers, terrorists, human traffickers, drugs, and other contraband, Mayorkas has failed to maintain operational control of the border, thereby violating the Secure Fence Act of 2006, end quote. That's what she wrote. And then she added, quote, as Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security, Mayorkas has violated his oath to uphold this constitutional duty by allowing the invasion of approximately 10 million illegals across our borders, end quote. The resolution continues, quote, the ongoing invasion at our southern border is a direct national security threat against the states and against the citizens therein. Secretary Mayorkas has willfully abandoned his duty to secure the border and protect states against invasion, thereby violating Article 4, Section 4 of the U.S. Constitution, end quote. The mainstream corporate media has tried to portray new House Speaker Mike Johnson as a religious extremist. CNBC hack Andrew Ross Sorkin, well, he is the latest who tried to trap Speaker Johnson and get him to look as an extremist. Johnson, well, he was ready for him. Take a look at his response.
And there is a question about the separation of church and state. We often talk on this show about folks, about whether religion should play a role inside a company, whether people should be allowed to pray inside a company. It's one thing to pray outside and to have your faith, and there's a great importance in that. But how do you think about that, and how do you think about the public perception of that?
Listen, faith, our deep religious heritage and tradition, is a big part of what it means to be an American. When the founders set this system up, they wanted a vibrant expression of faith in the public square because they believed that a general moral consensus and virtue was necessary to maintain this grand experiment in self-governance that we created, a government of, by, and for the people. We don't have a king in charge. We don't have a middleman. So we've got to keep morality amongst us so that we have accountability. And so they wanted faith to be a big part of that. The separation of church and state is a misnomer. People misunderstand it. Of course, it comes from a phrase that was in a letter that Jefferson wrote. It's not in the Constitution. And what he was explaining is they did not want the government to encroach upon the church, not that they didn't want principles of faith to have influence on our public life. It was exactly the opposite. Washington said, of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports. And John Adams came next and he said, Our Constitution is made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. They knew that it would be important to maintain our system. And that's why I think we need more of that. Not an establishment of any national religion, but we need everybody's vibrant expression of faith because it's such an important part of who we are as a nation.
That was a beautiful response, indeed. Just the News reports that U.S. soccer star Megan Rapinoe said getting injured this past weekend at the beginning of the last match of her career is proof that God does not exist. Minutes into the National Women's Soccer League Championship game Saturday against the New York, New Jersey Gotham FC Women's Professional Soccer Team, Rapinoe playing for Seattle's OL region, well, she fell to the ground with a non-contact injury. She said during a post-match press conference that while she still needs an MRI, she's pretty sure she tore her Achilles tendon. Quote, I'm not a religious person or anything, and if there was a God like, this is proof that there isn't, end quote. That's what she said. Watch this.
This is a long one, although I'm going to get the Aaron Rodgers treatment, whatever that is. So I'm going to be calling him or whoever did his surgery because we need to speed this up. But yeah, I thought about it a little bit. I mean, you know, I'm not a religious person or anything. And if there was a God, like, this is proof that there isn't. This is f***ed up. It's just f***ed up, you guys. Like, 6 minutes in, eat my Achilles. I mean, what the f***?
She said in July that she would retire at the end of the season. The full extent of her injury is still unclear. U.S. troops in the Middle East have come under attack 4 more times after the U.S. conducted retaliatory airstrikes Sunday on locations linked to Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps. According to Stars and Stripes, an unnamed military official explained that the 4 latest strikes against U.S. forces in the Middle East, well, they increased the number of attacks on U.S. forces in Iraq and Syria to over 50 within the past month. Iran-backed terrorist organizations have launched dozens of attacks against U.S. bases in Iraq and Syria since October 17th, following the surprise attacks of Hamas terrorists against Israel on October 7th. Quote, most of these attacks were successfully disrupted by our military, end quote. That's what a U.S. military official told Stars and Stripes. Quote, most failed to reach their targets. Thanks to our robust defenses between October 17th and today, U.S. and coalition forces have been attacked at least 52 times, end quote. The anonymous U.S. official noted that 28 attacks have been carried out against U.S. forces in Syria, while 24 attacks have been conducted against the U.S. in Iraq. The 52 attacks have been executed with a mixture of, quote, one-way attack drones and rockets, end quote. According to the military official, the latest strike against U.S. forces came Monday at the Rumlin landing zone, which is located in northeastern Syria. Quote, one enemy drone was shot down. The other impacted the landing zone, end quote. That's what the official stated, adding, quote, no casualties and minor damage to 4 tents, end quote. The 3 other strikes that occurred between Sunday and Monday targeted Mission Support Site Green Village, Mission Support Site Euphrates, and U.S. bases at Al-Shadadi. A U.S. official also told CNN that multi-rocket attacks were launched Sunday night against U.S. troops at Mission Support Site Euphrates, while 2 one-way drone attacks were conducted against U.S. troops at Mission Support Site Green Village. Both of those attack drones were reportedly shot down before reaching their intended targets, and the U.S. military did not report any casualties from the attacks. Stars and Stripes reported that 56 U.S. personnel have been injured over the past month as a result of the attacks. A leading American obstetrician gynecologist, or OBGYN, has testified before Congress regarding an alarming spike in miscarriages among women who have received COVID mRNA injections. On Monday, Dr. Kimberly Biss, an OBGYN who has been involved in 8,000 pregnancies, joined a panel of experts to testify before Congress in the, quote, injuries caused by COVID-19 vaccines, end quote. This was a hearing, that's what it was titled, on Capitol Hill. Quote, I've never seen this before, end quote. That's what Biss warned to congressional lawmakers. Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene, Republican of Georgia, who led the hearing, asked Biss, quote, how many of your patients or pregnant women that you know of experience miscarriages after taking the COVID-19 vaccines or injections, end quote. Biss first explained that the vaccination rate among her patient population was about 60%. She revealed that most of the patients received three injections, noting that, quote, very few received four or more. What's concerning is the majority of the patients received their injections in 2021 and early 2022. However, we're still seeing lingering effects, end quote. Watch this.
How many of your patients or pregnant women that you know of experience miscarriages after taking the COVID-19 vaccines or injections?
Yeah, so a lot of that was hard to, I will tell you that I looked at my pregnancy population in the fall of last year, everybody that was pregnant in our practice, and our vaccination rate in that patient population was about 60%. That's pretty commensurate with Florida because last I checked in the CDC site, the vaccination rate in Florida overall was about 65 to 70%. Mm-hmm. Most of our pregnant patients received three injections. Very few received four or more. And what's concerning is the majority of the patients received their injections in 2021 and early 2022. Mm-hmm. However, we're still seeing lingering effects. I have a great Substack that Jessica Rose published in November of 2022, which shows my data in pictorial form. That's pretty right there behind you. So I went back to January of 2020, and this data went up to the beginning of November of 2022. I will tell you, in 2020, we had very many newly registered obstetric patients, which is what the blue bars represent. Those are first trimester newly pregnant patients. We had the most deliveries we've had, and probably, wink, wink, that was due to the lockdowns. We did also have what was considered the normal pregnancy loss rate. Now, what's quoted in my obstetric textbook and in some articles is that a normal miscarriage rate is 13 to 15%. I've never seen that clinically. There was a study that came out in 2020 by a gentleman named Naert, N-A-E-R-T, et al., that showed the actual miscarriage rate in the first trimester is 5 to 6%. Mm-hmm. And even that's a little high from what I've seen. Mm-hmm. My average miscarriage rate in 2020, month to month, was 4%. That was normal. I had done a video where I wrongly said that my miscarriage rate had increased by 50% because I was put on the spot and I didn't have my data in front of me. I was wrong. My miscarriage rate from year to year went up 100%. In 2021, the average miscarriage rate month to month was 7 to 8%. We peaked in November of that year for some reason. That's actually when a non-clinical staff member came up to me and said, Dr. Biss, do you realize we've had eight miscarriages this month? Which in a practice that delivers 20 to 25 patients, that's a huge number. Mm. In 2022, the average month-to-month rate was 15%. Now, that was up till November. I will tell you, in December, I've never seen this before. We had 41 newly registered patients. 13 of them lost their babies, so that's 25% right there. And then in January and February of 2023, it still remained high. Didn't normalize until June of this year, then went up a little bit and came down in September. So we're still seeing effects. You asked how many patients had the vaccine and then lost their babies. That's hard to determine. I mean, I can tell you 60% of my patients got vaccinated. But the problem is, if they're brand new to the practice, I haven't seen them yet because I'm the only person in my practice that asks every patient, have you gotten a vaccine? how many, which brand, when, have you had COVID, how many times? Because whether we like it or not, mm-hmm. that's part of your medical history now. I'm the only one that asks those questions. So the problem is if a woman miscarries and you ask them, well, did you get an injection? You may come across accusatory to that person. So that's information. You don't want to ever make a woman feel like she caused her baby to not be born. So it's hard to get the exact data on all those patients.
So there you have Dr. Biss testifying under oath that her miscarriage rate in 2020 was about 4%. In 2021, that number doubled to approximately 8%. Alarming, indeed. The miscarriage rate, it doubled again in 2022, spiking to a staggering 15%. We'll be right back after this break.
I'm excited to announce that we're having our biggest Christmas sale ever. You get our brand new six-piece My Towels for only $29.98, or rejuvenate your bed with a MyPillow mattress topper as low as $99.99. Or how about MyPillow bed sheets for as low as $24.98? There's something for everyone. Duvets, quilts, down comforters, body pillows, bolster pillows, and so much more. Well, I know MyPillow products make for the perfect Christmas gifts, so I'm going to extend my money-back guarantee until March 1st, 2024. So go to MyPillow.com now or call the number on your screen. Use your promo code to get huge discounts on all MyPillow products. For example, you get our six-piece towels for only $29.98. Or get your very own MyPillow bed sheets for as low as $24.98. It's our biggest Christmas sale ever. Get all your shopping done now while quantities last.
Welcome back. Glad you're with us. Before we continue, as I always do, let me remind you, we're brought to you by you. So thank you to all of you that sponsor not only the Worldview Report, but all the other shows from this studio, from this news desk, that are free for people to watch all over the world. And they are watching, by the way, all over the world. We get reports. We have folks watching on VPNs in China and Iran, among other nations. Of course, Israel. We have people watching in Canada. That's a big audience. New Zealand, Australia. It's amazing the number of people that we hear from that are watching all over the world. And we push it all out for free. And if you appreciate that, we appreciate your support at WVWFoundation.com. WVW is in World View Weekend. WVWFoundation.com. You'll also find our mailing address there if you prefer to support us through the mail. February 1993 was when I started Worldview Weekends with my wife, and we held the Biblical Worldview Weekends in over 300 locations around America. Then in 2006, we launched WVW Broadcast Network, what you know as Worldview Tube, WVW TV, Worldview Radio. And we're continuing to bring Christian worldview, teaching, training, and equipping to many, many people, but not just to folks in the U.S. Now with this global broadcast network, we're bringing it to people all over the world, as I said. So thank you for helping sponsor this. WVW Broadcast Network, and all the productions, all the broadcasts that you've come to appreciate and rely on, like this one, Worldview Report, Brandon House Live, of course, Worldview Radio, which is also a TV show, 1 to 2 Central. Let's see, Worldview Weekend Hour, the Bible class I teach on Sunday night since 2015, Worldview Financial Report, Worldview Report Sunday, and many other shows that we produce, like that of Ivan Raiklin, Dr. Andy Wood's show we carry, Dr. Rob Lindstedt's show that we carry, Trevor Loudon we produce, so many shows that we produce. And if you appreciate all of that at worldviewtube.com, we appreciate your support. WVWFoundation.com. Thank you for remembering us in your end of the year giving. Thank you. It's so important we hear from you right now so we can set our budgets for the first quarter of 2024. Thank you. WVWFoundation.com. In tonight's Worldview Report commentary, we break down a crime scene from last week in New York City. A subway rider witnessed a violent mugging of a woman on a subway platform near Times Square. This was on Tuesday, November 7th, and he decided to act. The woman was physically and violently attacked by a mugger trying to get her purse, which is a common occurrence in New York City, particularly on the subway system. As a side note, on that same night, November 7th, a man was randomly slashed in the face by a knife-wielding attacker at a subway station in the Bronx. That's what ABC7 reports. But back to the main point of our story here. A 43-year-old male passenger on the subway, well, he witnessed the felony in progress. And it was against, as I said, a woman. And she was being violently mugged by a homeless man. So, he pulled out a pistol and he fired two warning shots in the direction of the mugger. Both shots, well, they expended themselves harmlessly. No one was hurt. The mugger immediately fled. The shooter then calmly departed, but was arrested by the NYPD just a short time later. The shooter has been charged criminally. The mugger was also arrested, and he's been, well, arrested for many similar felonies many, many times, but he's already been released. Here's the way the local ABC affiliate covered the story.
We begin right now with the breaking news around gunshots on the subway. New York cops saying they now have a man in custody in connection to that vigilante act underground.
That man firing warning shots to stop a mugger from stealing a woman's purse. It happened in the 49th Street subway station.
Eyewitness News reporter Tom Negevin outside the subway with new information. Tom?
Sade and Bill, they told us in a briefing earlier today an arrest was just a matter of time, and in the end it appears it didn't take much time at all. This crime drawing attention to a couple of serious issues facing police and the MTA. They say the alleged mugger was a known fare jumper trying to rob a woman right here last night. The vigilante jumping in, telling him to knock it off, and then firing off those warning shots. Police and the man who runs the subway system on the platform today, the same spot swarmed by cops last night in response to a shots fired call. Just a couple of shots, but more than enough to rattle commuters.
That's terrifying.
Yeah.
Pretty scary.
I don't like to hear of a gun going off in a subway.
Neither does the transit president.
Let's unpack what is wrong with all of this.
It's a crime that's raising awareness about two issues the MTA is working hard to address. Guns in the subway system. Arrests are up nearly 40% from this time last year. That's a big number, but nothing like fare evasion. Arrests there up an astounding 144%.
Weapons shouldn't be on the streets of New York. They are. And if that occurs, then, you know, what happens in the streets come down into our subways. We need to get a handle on the gun issue, certainly in the city.
The alleged vigilante caught on surveillance cameras described as a man with a light complexion, around 40, 5'9", and 230 pounds. He fired the shots and ran. No one was hurt. Strap hangers say it pays to be careful.
Especially when you're traveling at night, not so much in the daytime, but at night you do have to be a little more careful. I still see people with their phones.
The few times I come here to visit, I'm always like very on edge. I live in London, but I'm more on edge in New York than I'm in London.
Metro's not like this, is it?
No, it's not.
Again, the alleged subway vigilante in custody right now. Less than 18 hours after the crime, the accused mugger already in custody, charged with attempted robbery. Police say their investigation of both of these, of course, ongoing. Enforcement up on the subways tonight.
Firearms and defensive tactics instructor John Farnham, writing for MLN.com. Well, he pointed out the following lessons to be learned from this incident. Number one, warning shots are almost always a bad idea, and they are not recommended. Two, in the eyes of most prosecutors, flight equals guilt. So even if you think you're acting as a good Samaritan, don't leave the scene unless you have to for your own safety. Three, in New York City, as in a number of other Democrat-run cities, liberal politicians and prosecutors, well, they expect you, indeed require you, to meekly submit to physical attacks by violent felons. Farnham says that any use of force, particularly deadly force, on the part of citizens who are attempting to defend themselves or other innocent parties at the hands of violent felons is always viewed as a crime. In other words, the deck is stacked against you. Barnum spelled it out in no uncertain terms, writing, quote, in plain English, Democrat Marxists don't want you protecting yourself from their precious criminals. As a resident, you are required to accept violent crime as a condition of living there. You're expected to be a good, i.e. cooperative victim. Of course, these same politicians rely on a, well, virtual army of heavily armed, taxpayer-funded bodyguards to protect them, so they don't think violent crimes is a problem, because for them, it isn't. For them, violent crime is nothing more than casual conversation, end quote. Well written. This non-caring attitude on the part of the leftist politicians, well, it's not going to change anytime soon. So, the best advice from the pro-gun ammo land is to, quote, stay out of New York City, Washington, D.C., Minneapolis, Austin, Texas, Portland, Oregon, Seattle, Chicago, San Francisco. Don't live there and don't go there, end quote. I would say that's very good advice and one that we actually follow ourselves. There are places here in the United States of America that I personally will not go to. There are certain states that I will not enter. They're banned. I'm not going there. And if I ever have to for an emergency or something, I would take hired security so that I don't have to respond. They can. Because, as we just heard, legitimate self-defense is now a crime. Well, that does it for this edition of the Worldview Report. Thank you for watching and for supporting this viewer-supported broadcast. You can do that a few ways. One is by going to twc.health/Brannon. twc.health/Brannon. You can get your own pack of emergency meds. This is the medical emergency kit by the wellness company, my friend Dr. Peter McCullough, who I just talked to yesterday, and Dr. James Thorpe. Comes in, with things like ivermectin, amoxicillin, other antibiotics. Very important. My family got four of these because we want to make sure we have this as part of our preparation plans should there be a grid down or a disruption of services or banking crisis or interruption in pharmaceuticals. We don't want someone getting sick with strep throat or something that we could treat if we had the meds and we don't have them, so it turns into something life-threatening. So have these on hand. That's my advice. twc.health/Brannon, twc.health/Brannon. Be sure to check your email after you order it because they're going to email you a link and you got paperwork you have to fill out because that's an actual prescription from a doctor. twc.health/Brannon. MyPillow.com. Hey, Christmas is next month. Sheets, towels, blankets, pet beds, slippers, sandals, mattress, toppers, robes, and more. All available at MyPillow.com. Please use the promo code B66. You get savings. We get credit. It's a big part of our general operating budget. So please consider doing some shopping at MyPillow.com. And please use that promo code B66. WVWTVstore.com is another place you can do a lot of shopping. Emergency freeze-dried food, 3 month, 6 month, year, 2 year. And by the way, it tastes really good. I've had many of the entrees, and if someone made it for you and put it in front of you and didn't tell you, you wouldn't know it's freeze-dried. It's real food, folks. Freeze-dried food is still real food. You just rehydrate it and bring it back and cook it. We also have all kinds of emergency supplies. Some of them actually make pretty cool gifts, particularly if you have someone that's a hunter or a camper. A lot of great camping and hunting gear, as well as survival gear, prepping gear, is available at WVWTVstore.com. Many of these things make great gifts. WVWTVstore.com. And then finally, WVWFoundation.com to support free programming. Don't forget about December 2nd and 3rd, 2 days of celebrating 30 years of Worldview Weekend. That's December 2nd and 3rd at WorldviewTube.com. It's our telethon, share-a-thon. But also, we're going to be celebrating 30 years. We started in February of 1993. And in 2006, Worldview Weekend gave birth to our broadcast network, WVW Broadcast Network. So join us for those 2 days. Annie Cyrus will be in studio along with Leo Holman and lots of great guests, live guests, as well as some keynote presentations filmed at our Ozarks Worldview Weekend. And we'll show them to you for the first time on December 2nd and 3rd at worldview2.com. 2 great days. Hope you'll join us. Well, till next time, I'm Brandon House. May God save America. Take care.